Hi, everyone. Welcome to Full Court Press on FBI Radio. With me, the Bagman, Sam, and Rabbit. It's the first week of the NBA regular season, as well as the fifth week in the NBL. A lot of things have happened, including the Lakers not doing so well. New York killing it. But first, the headlines. Bagman.
Thank you, Wesley. Up first, New Orleans guard Eric Gordon apparently will not need surgery on his bung knee, but he will still be out for another 4 to 6 weeks from today. Still have yet to see him play after he signed a four-year, $58 million max contract not too long ago. The Dallas Mavericks have waived fat unit of a center, Eddie Curry, and have picked up Troy the Murph Dog Murphy. Brandon Rush, Golden State Warriors wingman and first reserve off the bench, tore his ACL in the game the other night and will miss the season. It was nasty as. Steve Nash as well did not play the last game against Detroit, and he'll be out until at least the game in Sacramento on November
Bagman,
the 11th.
He actually fractured a bone in his leg, or
fractured in his.
How can they pencil that to be a week sideline?
That's the first thing I said as well. I thought a break was at least like a month to 6 weeks. Yeah,
well, yeah, they was 1 week, and then initially it's going to be another week, but I just would have thought a break on someone of his age, you'd be sidelined for a bit longer than that.
Yeah, especially with his decaying bones. I would have thought it would take him ages.
Maybe he's got alien bones.
Looks like he doesn't drink a lot of dairy.
I think it's all the yoga Nash does, isn't it?
He's so he can just mend his heels.
Yeah.
The NBA has fined or has given warnings for the very first flopping offences this year. Surprise, surprise, a European player. JJ Barea. Oh, he's South American.
He's Central American, isn't he? Puerto Rican.
Central American.
That's what I remember, yeah.
Are you sure he's not from Argentina?
No, because remember he was with Miss Puerto Rico. We were all stunned by it, remember?
Yeah, but punching. It could have been interracial. No, I'm just saying.
It wasn't. It was all homegrown.
It's all homegrown. Yeah.
Nonetheless, him and Cavaliers guard Donald Sloan both issued the very first warnings for flopping. The description of Barea's flop was that he threw his arms up dramatically. Which
he's
is
got little
shock.
Tiny arms. He's always flailing.
He's flailing. Yeah. Anyway, he got the call, and so they've received their first warnings. No fines.
Okay, so they do it. Yet. They do it again in the season. They're going to be fined $5,000.
But yes, that's right.
It's boom. Take
this warning. Yeah.
Okay. Good.
We'll keep an eye on that one. It's pretty interesting. It's pretty funny that it was Barea of all people, isn't it?
Definitely.
I was kind of thinking it could have been Scholar or maybe Berger or someone like that. Dragic even.
But they'll get their fair share. I think. Yeah.
Do you think the big stars are a little protected? You know, like maybe they're not going to call it on Blake as much because he's a superstar.
CP3 as well. Well,
Paul Pierce. Don't know.
Wait and see. No, I think they'll happily hand it out to some of the big boys just to make a statement. I think
it's kind of working as well. Seems like there's been a lot less flopping.
Yeah.
But Barea didn't flop. Didn't he just throw his arms in the air to try? Did he fall on his back?
He sold it.
Yeah.
He sold it.
Yeah, and the announcers are all over it. They love talking about if it was a flop.
Yeah, Van Gundy's super keen to see it happen.
Love talking about flop.
Yeah.
So another exciting thing that happened in the NBA this first week was to watch James Harden play. What do you guys think? Pretty amazing?
He looked totally dominant.
He looked amazing. He looked like he had the leash thrown off and he can score. Oh, he was getting everything he wanted the other night. He went for 45 just quietly the other night against Atlanta.
He kind of looked like he had $80 million in his bank account suddenly.
So yeah. The trade with Oklahoma, Bagman, just inform me a bit more. He was offered 4 years at Oklahoma for, I think, 55 around
yeah,
that.
Yeah, around about.
So that wasn't, obviously, they couldn't come to an agreement. And then they pretty much shipped him up straight away, packed him up and shipped him off as soon as negotiations broke down.
Yeah, it's kind of a shock because you would have thought that if they were going to lose him, they might have gone for one more title run, but you know, then they would have got nothing for him if he wasn't going to sign the extension. So true. I think they've put a pretty good swag.
And now Houston have signed him to a 5-year, so another year extension because
Rookie clause. Yeah, teams can use a special extension, a 5-year extension, which had already been used up in Oklahoma City with Russell Westbrook, right. So they couldn't hand him an extra year. So
I will just say, I think OKC handled that all beautifully. It wasn't ugly, it wasn't messy, it was not Dwight, it was just a beautiful, smooth transition over to Houston. And then to see him play amazingly, it's how the NBA should be.
Blowing up, he's averaging 35, 6 assists, 6 rebounds and 2 steals.
Amazing.
They got Kevin Martin back to Oklahoma, and
that's all good.
He's been pretty impressive. He's a career 20-point-a-game player. He's played for Sacramento and Houston before. He's pretty impressive. I don't know. He's no Harden, though, at the end of the day.
He's got a great three game, but no Harden knows how to grab a grain by the scruff of the neck.
He doesn't have the playmaking ability of Harden.
He's a good piece.
Yeah, but, you know, and he's not as big as all. Harden's a big, strong guy.
Yeah.
Like, I've sort of, you know, had my detriments with Harden over the last year. I don't really...
He went cold in the playoffs, didn't he? I mean, that's got to be tested
again. Just his style a little bit. You know, technically he's great, but a lot of free throws and a lot of just trying to get contact where it's not there, I don't really like. But he's got...
Loves a quick three.
Yeah, doesn't he? His pull-up three is amazing, and he looks fantastic.
Oklahoma lose a lot of scoring there, you know, and they all play a similar type of style, that is KD and Westbrook and Harden, where it's a lot of one-on-one play. So it might not be the worst thing in the world that Harden's gone from OKC and they've fit in more of a role player.
I think they're missing him. Yeah. Wes, is that what you're going to say?
I think there's a little bit more pressure now that he's not there.
On KD and Westbrook.
Yeah, and sure. I think that's probably what happened. Same with the Lakers. They were probably scared shitless.
Mm. Well, Westbrook's decision-making is now coming in too. He hasn't got really that fold back. He's sort of flying by the seat of his pants and not really thinking about some of his decisions.
He went 4-for-16 the other night.
It was pretty poor.
Yeah, bad Russell was in the house.
Yeah.
I think it's more so the reasons why they're struggling early is their bigs haven't really showed up. I know Perkins was banged up, but Ibaka's not looked good and the
Collison's
bench
been quiet.
Does anyone think Perkins lumbers around the court and he looks like Eeyore? He looks so grumpy and he lumbers and it's like a slug. Mm. He does some good things every now and then, but he looks so... I don't know. It looks like a grumpy uncle or something.
They don't expect much from him, though. They expect defense and boards. That's about it.
Mm. Truth.
And he is a presence in
the
game.
They need a Gasol on their team.
Everyone needs a Gasol on the team.
Yeah, that's great.
Speaking of Houston, Jeremy Lin, point guard, versus Dragic, Phoenix Suns. And the reason why I'm making the comparison is because Dragic went from Houston and they got rid of him. Do you really think they got a better point guard in Jeremy Lin versus Dragic, or did they just get a little bit more jersey sales?
I think it's still too early. I think we still need to see them all gelling together. Pretty new, updated roster out there in Houston, and I think we just need to give it a little longer before we make any executive decisions.
It's interesting. You'd probably argue that Dragic is the more accomplished NBA player, probably been in the league longer. You know, he's got more stats to back it up. It is very similar what you're getting from Lin, though, isn't it? It's kind of, you know, impact scoring when you need it. It's, you know, creating off the dribble. I don't know if Lin's a better... Is he a better passer than Dragic? That's a tough one. They're very similar player.
I don't think it's any of that. I think if Jeremy Lin has hit crunch time shots, shown that he can really play under pressure, and Dragic did it once in the Suns and once with Houston.
I don't know.
At the end of the year...
Train, I reckon.
Yeah, Houston, he had a really good stretch with Houston at the end of the year last year when he was putting teams away pretty routinely.
Okay. And he was big in the playoffs against LA a few seasons ago. Like, he can play when he needs to.
Mm.
I reckon the more untested is Lin, if anything. He hasn't even played in the playoffs, has he?
Oh, he only played half a dozen, 18 games.
Whatever we said, So, I don't know. It's tough.
And so... Dragic was actually less money than Lin.
No, more money.
More money. So Dragic costs more. How much more was Dragic versus Lin?
Dragic is about $10 million a year, and Lin's averages out at about $8 million a year. I think Lin, we haven't seen anything from him yet, but he looks really sound. He's got good size for a point guard. He loves passing. I think they got
him
a really
and Harden
good thing
went
going
up
on
nicely when they got to play a court time.
I think
together.
He looks legit.
They look good together.
I think he looks like he belongs here.
I think I dare say that Lin wouldn't have been playing as well as he is if Dragic was there rather than Harden. I think Harden's taken a lot of pressure off Lin for Houston. You know what I mean? I don't think there's that pressure on him to come out and score or be the man.
Well, yeah, Harden got 12 assists his first game. Yeah. So they're splitting up the playmaking and getting everyone involved. It's working.
The That's only interesting want. Thing is if it's going to be like a two-man backcourt. You know what I mean? It's going to be... That's where the options are. That's the scoring. Everything comes from that.
Do you think they can keep it going, though? Like, I don't know if I believe the Houston fairy tale straight up.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I mean, you saw the two-guard offense with, like, with Monte Ellis and Curry last season. And you know, that was okay. But they're a very similar player. They go for the same sort of shots. And then they broke that up pretty quick because that didn't work. I don't know if they need a more varied offense in Houston, and I don't know where they're going to get it. I don't know if it's kind of predictable ball a little bit, although, hey, like, it's three games in and Harden's averaging 35.
Well, if Harden can continue this aggression, I mean, He can lead the way.
They just got no low post scoring, though, until Captain Anxiety gets his shit together.
They got the rookie. They got Parsons.
Yeah, he's second year. He's like a three.
Yeah. He's starting.
Yeah.
And he's got impact.
They got good wing players. They got Delfino, but, you know.
So Harden can kick and can drive and kick. You know, there's jump shots there. True. You know, perhaps Sheik will get his offense going a little bit more.
He's got concrete hands, but he's present in the paint.
So, you know, we'll see what happens, but it looks very good at the moment, you know, and you got to say it was a good trade for Houston.
Yeah, I think basically to sum it up, I think it's incredible how quickly Harden just adjusted to the whole new setup, new location, logistically everything's different for him, and just adjusted 37 points in opening game. It was mental.
It was the fifth most amount of points to start, you know, and puts him in crazy company with only Wilt and MJ, who have scored as many points in the first two games of the season.
It makes you wonder, was it there all along? You know, has he always been capable of that? You know, but he just never had the role in OKC. He never had the opportunity to do that. I don't know.
Did he not have a 40-point game in OKC?
I think he did that occasionally.
That was his career high, and he broke it the other night.
So it's not like, you know, he didn't show flashes of it.
So it is the first week of the NBA, and there's been about 3 to 4 games max that one team has played. And for me, it's exciting to watch the New York Knicks be so explosive and have their shit together so early. You think they're going to be Eastern Conference Final type of material if that can happen? Or you think if Amari comes back, it's just going to be a bit too hectic?
Someone better kneecap Amari if they want to make the conference finals.
Yeah, there's no room for him on that team at the moment. Hey.
At this stage, though, you would say yes. You said something interesting today, Wes, just about the energy. There's an absolute fire and energy amongst the entire roster. And anyone that gets on the floor is just aggressive. Like J.R. Smith today, that dunk. It's pretty epic that everyone is lifting at the same point at the same time, and that win over Miami. I think, even though it's early days, I think it's such a big part of what's going to mold the rest of their season coming.
That was an awesome game,
amazing game.
Melo goes for 30 in game one on 28 shots though, volume offense, but he came out streaking. And then Ronnie Brewer was chipping in points. Mm. Novak hit 4 threes.
Yeah, 15 to 30 for threes, I think.
Happy does Brewer look?
Do we say that's...
Brewer looks fantastic. Yeah. Lean, making his outside shots, getting way more court time and loving it.
And he's got air time. He's great. He's shaved all his hair off. So I miss him. I see him in Corver and I just go, oh, but it's okay.
Even Big Sheed came in off the bench and hit a three. You guys see that?
Crowd was chanting for him in the Miami game. It was mad. Mm.
So, yeah, I think they've got the depth. They look really good. I don't know if they're going to be able to fit Amari back into that rotation. Yeah. They were playing small ball. You know, it was really small.
Did anyone actually think, if I would have asked you pre-Miami game, if they would have brought Rasheed Wallace on the court during that game, who would have said yes?
I wouldn't have thought
No way. Yeah, just to rub it in and him hitting a three is just ridiculous.
They were up pretty big at the time, though. You know, I think it was a good kind of feel-good moment, especially with New York going through all the bullshit with the storms and all that. The city kind of needed it as well. So it was a feel-good moment for that game. And I think, you know, they were like, oh, let's chuck him in. It, hopefully he gets a shot.
Jeremy Lin-esque type thing? Yeah, who knows? Just wait for at least, you know, we've got the whole season, provided he doesn't get injured. Let's just see what
he can do. They got my man Shumpert coming back as well. And that's
great defender. Great defender.
But I think they got to come to terms with it. That works when Melo's at the four.
Yeah, it does.
And they're running this sort of almost positionless lineup.
I'm getting the feeling that you guys are probably more concerned of Amari getting injected back into the roster. You're concerned that it's going to cause an issue.
Totally.
Right, okay. Let's discuss that.
Last season it happened, you know, where they couldn't get the right combinations going. I don't think those problems have gone away. They were struggling the whole of the second end of the season with, the change of coaching. Lin went out.
But it reeks of that time where Melo's scoring a lot of points, so hitting a lot of threes, scoring well.
Murray comes back dry. Yeah.
And then it just washes off.
So Bagman, what do you do if you're the board of New York? Do you limit his hours? What do you do?
I think, honestly, I'd put Amari on the bench.
Why can't you make him the Redick of the team?
Put him on the chopping board.
Because he's getting paid $100 million and no one does that. Yeah. You know. But he could play pick and roll with Kidd all day.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't know, they did
last year. Split the roster down the middle. Have your team. It's almost like creating two separate teams and have them roll together every time.
But it definitely it shows that having Melo at the four and having shooters like Novak and Smith, that works. And Felton's looking fantastic.
Who started at the five, though? They didn't start Kurt Thomas at the five, did they? They started Chandler, of course. Yeah. So Chandler's a great fit for that, for that offense.
Yeah, hard.
It's amazing. Chandler at the, at the five, Melo four, and then
any, Brewer.
Yeah, anyone you want. You got from the Bulls. J.R. Smith is coming off the bench. You've got Kidd there. You've got Felton.
Yep. Novak. Prigioni.
Novak looks amazing. He's stroking.
That's
an
we've just run through that roster. That's a pretty deep, fucking incredible,
it's a fantastic roster.
Yeah. Shumpert and Stoudemire to come.
Yep.
And Camby.
Yeah, of course.
And Kidd, who's still who's still getting the ball around nicely. Like, yeah, they're a pretty impressive looking squad.
It'll be interesting if they can keep it up, injury free.
If it's one thing about New York, you know,
hype, yeah. Love hype,
up and down.
But do you think the hype's kind of just swung to Brooklyn all of a sudden, and just all about that, and they're just quietly getting awesome players?
Well, how were we all feeling about Brooklyn? We got to check out a game today. How are we feeling about how they're moving? How do we feel? You know,
they lost to Minnesota with no Love or Rubio.
But I don't think Jay-Z was at the game, so it could have just been that.
Yeah. They got a new mascot, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. The Brooklyn Knight. Yeah, he's pretty cool. Like, you know, he's no, like, Phoenix Gorilla, but, you know, he's cool.
Benny the Bull.
He's got a shield and, you know, he's all in silver, kind of a Batman persona going on there.
What about the OKC Buffalo?
Yeah, it's epic.
Love it.
But
no, the Miami Heat Flame. He looks like fucking Beaker or whatever it is from the Muppets. Actually scares me. Whatever, move on.
I got to say, they didn't look great. They had a good lead in the first quarter, and you know, they just sort of shrank in front of their home fans.
No Gerald Wallace and their thing.
Yeah, when Wallace is playing, it's great. But
I don't know though. More than one. Joe Johnson was quiet. Lopez had a strong first half, but you know, he kind of.
And I keep hearing Deron Williams being the best point guard in the NBA thrown around. Can I please have your opinions on this? Bagman?
There'd be a few guys I'd probably rather have on my team than Deron Williams right now.
At the point, yeah.
Yeah, I'd probably have...
Then why is everyone on his dick? I don't understand.
I think he's got pretty much no weaknesses. He shoots well, he passes well, he's big and he's strong, he can defend, he's smart.
Okay, well, you said that he probably wouldn't be the one you'd put on his team. Who's your number one?
Can't go past Chris Paul, I reckon. Mm-hmm. But I'd probably have Westbrook or Rondo in front of him as well, maybe.
Rabbit.
Oh, I'd take Westbrook in a heartbeat. You get offense from him. You get tenacity. You get defense.
Get six shirts.
Yeah, he boards well. I don't know. He look at his performance in the finals last year. I think it's a no-brainer at the moment. Deron Williams has got talent, and everyone knows that. Whether he can lead Brooklyn to wins, like, respected wins and a good record and into the playoffs, we'll see. I welcome it. Bring it on. And I'm bummed that New York Brooklyn game didn't go down first.
November 26th.
It's coming back.
Well, hopefully it'll be more people healthy.
But that's just building the anticipation for it. So bring it on.
So you're taking Chris Paul and you're taking...
I'm taking Westbrook.
And you're taking...
You'd have to take Chris Paul at this stage.
Wow.
I can't believe you didn't say Derrick Rose.
Well, obviously someone that's game ready. If Derrick Rose is fully healthy, MVP...
We're not talking about Derrick Rose.
I didn't. That's why I said CP3. Get off my bum.
How do you feel, Bagman, if I win?
The rules of the hypothetical were not made clear.
If this wasn't hypothetical... Yeah, Derrick Rose all day. He's faster. He's more aggressive.
Not Derrick Rose you're going with.
But I would go... With CP3 now.
Yeah, okay.
Westbrook, what's this bad Westbrook? It's a talk of him just his snap decision.
Bad Russell. That's just like his, like, that's what people say, sort of his alter ego when, you know, he just goes into those brain fucks and he just takes terrible shots.
It's when you save a ball from under your own basket and throw it behind the back to the center on the other team for an easy.
You would honestly take McGee. Westbrook over Kyrie Irving at this stage right now.
Yes.
You'd rather Westbrook a little bit inconsistent in his head sometimes over. The solid kid that could just run.
Kyrie Irving is not nearly ready yet to be leading his team deep.
He's doing great.
I don't think he's got the ability yet to totally lift his team.
How many Cavaliers games have you watched this?
Two.
No, he said deep, into the playoffs.
Are we talking about the best or not the best?
Just the point guard.
That's what I'm saying. The best point guard or not
Blake
the best
Griffin
point guard?
Is on Chris Paul's team. So is DeAndre Jordan. Who the fuck does...
If you put Kyrie Irving on last year's Thunder team, do they go to the finals?
Yeah, good call.
No. Westbrook still is good. And yeah, he made some fuck-ups, but he still does a lot of great things. A lot better than Kyrie Irving does. Don't look at me, Wes, like I don't watch Kyrie Irving play. I watch Kyrie Irving play.
Man, that's cool. I'm putting it out there.
I'm not saying he's a bad player. I'm saying he gets dominated and smashed sometimes when he drives.
It's a good question, though. If Kyrie Irving is on Oklahoma, do they go to the finals? You know, you could say yes.
Sick team.
Yeah, but like yes. The key to their whole thing, I think, was like they were so long and fast and athletic and just relentless.
Yeah. We were talking about Deron Williams being the best point guard. It's arguable, but he's definitely one of the top four. And they played...
Oh, that's debatable.
Don't do that. He was not a role.
The Brooklyn Nets. Jay-Z's Brooklyn Nets played the Timberwolves, and they have no Rubio, and they have no Love.
Kevin Love, yeah.
And they have Brandon Roy, and they won.
Can we talk about Brandon Roy? Little Roy report? He's fading. He was 0-for-3 and 5 turnovers.
Wait a minute.
In 2 games ago. The last game, he got 7 points.
Do you mind if we break down the Timberwolves a little bit, gentlemen?
Yeah, go for it.
I think let's discuss Brandon Roy because he's a story.
Did anyone think that the Timberwolves would be winning a game without Rubio and Love on the court?
Maybe against the Bobcats or something, but yeah.
There's still really, some good pieces there. Yeah. Kirilenko,
you think
Pekovic.
They beat Brooklyn?
I'm surprised they beat Brooklyn.
Yeah, I mean, preseason we were saying Brooklyn's going to be a top 4 team, and they are losing to the Timberwolves without their 2 marquee players.
Oh, I don't know. Interesting. I said they might take some time to gel. I wasn't really too convinced with it. But, I mean, yeah, we're talking 3 games in. If 20 games, 30 games, you see where they're standing.
I can't see them stopping a strong fit. Really warmed up Joe Johnson and the rest of that squad.
Yeah,
just give them time, boys. It's early days.
Yeah, and Lopez looks really dangerous. He's going to get some offense, and you know he's got the confidence now to be the second or third string scorer. Yeah. I mean, that's all he needs.
So, Rabbit, do you think it's Lopez just a matter of patience to wait for them to gel?
Totally,
or
totally.
And defense. They got to get their defense sorted. Get everyone on board. So I think they're going to be able to score with the best of them. And with Gerald Wallace out, and you really don't have. And he gives you so much defensive flexibility. He can play guys like 4-3-1 pretty
totally.
Much almost.
And he's a great finisher. They'll be missing that a bit. He's good for 15 a game.
Yeah, totally.
So, yeah, they're missing that a bit. But, yeah, there'll be contenders like for the East, I reckon, for sure. So
Rubio's not rostered, not scheduled to come back. He's still way, way away.
Mm.
He's behind Rose in his recovery at the moment.
Oh, really?
He's not even jump shooting yet.
Ooh.
Yeah, he's got a while. He's got
it.
He's got it.
That's such bad.
It's weird. The ACL injury is a weird thing. Like Rose hurt the front and the right side of his knee, and Rubio only hurt his ACL, and he's just not popping yet.
Does anyone think? And speaking of the Timberwolves, Brandon Roy is making any sort of impact on the court?
No, I heard something. He was 2-for-14 in his first couple of shots.
If you wouldn't mind, game one he was 1-for-10. Oh, sorry, game one he was 10 points, 6 assists, and 5 rebounds. So that's a pretty... I mean, that's good.
Yeah, good start. Like that. That's exciting.
Game 2, 0-for-4 shooting, but he did make 4 points at the foul line in 22 minutes he played.
But 5 turnovers.
5 turnovers and 1 rebound.
That's all rubbish.
That was against the Toronto Raptors, I believe.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then game 3, 29 minutes, 6 points, 7 assists, and 2 rebounds. That's better, but it's not awesome.
No, he's in a bit of a position where he's playing against some really elite wing players, and he was never really known for being athletic, but the game's so fast now, I think if he can't keep up, it's going to be a bit of trouble. He's going to have a lot of trouble beating his man on defense.
But Bagman, what do you think were the expectations of him coming back, obviously, from the retirement?
Well, like, personally, my expectations were low. I didn't think there'd be a lot that he could really do. He's a very smart player, but it's tough out there. And it takes a lot of time to get back from these injuries and be game ready. And yeah. I didn't think he was going to do much.
I'm not really that surprised with any of those numbers. Like, that's kind of, where you'd think he'd be. What is he? He's hasn't played in the NBA since Portland, that Portland playoff series.
Yeah, so he missed a full year.
Yeah. If anything, dropping 10 points in the first game is pretty good. He's going to take a while to get back to his level, if he will ever get back to his level, I think. And I don't think they want to be, putting the bank on Brandon Roy saving him like he used to do for Portland. I think those days are done, to be honest. Sorry,
like
to be
totally done, as in he won't
might,
get
back? He might be a good role player. He might be a good scorer when Rubio's back and, Love find him for open jumpers or off the bench. But, nah, man, he's not going to be an impact
player.
He's
practically got no knees, right?
Yeah, I don't know why they're all... Are they expecting it out of him?
If he averaged 10 points for the year, which he's not on target to do right now, but yeah, I think that'd be totally in line with what I'd expect from him. Way to earn that $5 million.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Can we talk about LA?
Oh,
of course.
Love LA. They're my new favorite team, Bagman.
Oh, truly?
Yeah, I love it. I love...
We are talking about the Lakers, right?
Does anyone actually like watching them lose games, though? Isn't it kind of fun?
Yeah, I've got off on it. I was hoping they'd lose to Detroit, but is that just because I'm evil? Or?
Oh, I get a little disappointed because I'm hoping it to be some like really exquisite, exceptional basketball. Mm. I want it to work because I think it'd be really awesome for us to watch. But at the same time, yeah, it was like I was rubbing my hands together when Portland started doing them and like going, oh, yeah, look at the wheels come off. And they're getting smoked by Dallas. Yeah.
I think we all like to see a smoke screen sometimes.
Yeah, it was the same feeling I got watching Miami, New York. You know, you respect Miami and stuff, and I know everyone hates them, but it was just everyone would have been psyched to see New York win that game. It was great ball.
I think basically we were expecting, you know, on paper, the roster to just be incredible. And
the first quarter of the first game looked great.
Great. It's the first time the Lakers have lost three straight of the season since 1978.
1977.
Shit.
And it's only one team has ever gone 0-3 to start the season and win the title. And that was the Bulls in 91.
Sick. That's great. You'd feel good about that if you were the losing, you know, and you had all that going on. You'd be like, don't worry, the Bulls did it in 91. Yes, it's all good.
Now, see, I used to watch Dwight play a lot in his Orlando days, but I noticed in one particular game, in game two for them, he complains a lot. He's constantly whinging. They actually could put on like an 80-second just trailer highlight reel of him complaining. And they
legendary
were discussing
it. Handbag Dwight Howard.
He's and
are
complaining and going, what?
I'd be surprised.
Yeah, as they slowly eliminate a big from the NBA, as in a traditional center, they're doing it in the All-Star game. He kind of looks sluggish and quite old school out there. And he's learning a lot off these old school ex-players. And, you know, I feel like he's not running like he did in Orlando. And
he said himself that he is a step and a half slow after the game against Detroit the other night.
He's still coming back from that back injury and that. He's looking a little bit more comfortable in the last few games. Kobe came out and said to the media, just told him all to shut up and not worry about it. Did you see that?
He did miss a few like putbacks right underneath the ring, like coming up short on a putback, and he's 6'10".
I think he's a touch slower. He might be a touch behind the pace a little bit. But
do you think Kobe's a little jealous because everyone's asking about Dwight, not him?
No, I personally think Kobe's really happy.
Yeah, I've seen like Kobe. He's trying to be really good.
He's trying to be really helpful to his players. Did you see the game where Gasol fell really hard on his back, and Kobe was like there catching him, lifted him up, like held him, and Dwight came over and he gave Dwight a little cuddle. Like, I just think he's really trying.
Good man, love.
It's looking. I had a little tear, and I'm like thinking, this is not a big Kobe debate recently. I think
he wouldn't have done.
I think he heard our podcast, and he's like,
wouldn't have helped.
Never done it for Smush. No.
Yeah, he feels bad about the shit that you guys said about him. And he's wanting to change his ways.
I'm still not ready to crown them on form yet. No. Anyone can beat Detroit. No. They suck out loud.
Yeah,
there was a moment where Detroit. Well, they weren't clawing their way back in, but we were in deep into the fourth, and they were just kind of closing that gap a little bit. And you saw Dwight and Kobe stand up. Brown brought them in, and they unbuttoned their jacket, and the crowd just went up. And I thought, this is what the fucking NBA
it's
is
so
all about.
So romantic today.
A man's chest.
Nostalgic.
Yeah, but do you know what I mean? And then I thought about it. How good? Like we watch the NBL games, but seeing superstars on the floor and just see them gear up and ready to walk on would be just such a rush.
That thing you put on my Facebook with the best of Jordan, and it's got the piano. It was a bit much.
Like. Guys, don't laugh till you watch it.
But a bit much.
But you got to admit, it was a beautiful little.
Can we talk about how bad Detroit are? Did anyone see?
Yeah. Who's that white guy Prince with the really nice part?
JJ. Jonas Jerebko.
That's the one.
Big, sexy Swede. Their backcourt's terrible. I always hated Brandon Knight. Rodney Stuckey couldn't score in a monkey hole house with a bag of bananas. Terrible.
Like Bagman. Like, I don't think scalping Detroit is necessarily going to make them right home. But
that's exactly what I mean.
Yeah. But at the same time, they were offensively really clicking as a unit throughout that game. Or do you think it just doesn't matter? They weren't having a lot of defensive pressure put on them. You think that they were just...
Yeah, they just like a scrimmage for them. I'll be surprised if Detroit doesn't come dead last this year.
They looked awful against Dallas, who are another team who are actually 3-1 who are looking good.
Can we talk about like Dallas
for a second? Yeah. I do. I think they're doing pretty good considering they don't have Nowitzki. He's out.
Have you ever seen someone have so much fun on the sideline, though, other than Nowitzki? He's getting involved. He's talking. He's shouting. He's having a blast. He doesn't seem really that upset that he's not playing.
He's still out for, another 6 weeks, I reckon, at least?
Yeah.
Yeah, but, I mean, they might be able to carry him. I mean, OJ Mayo's going off. He went for 31 against the Blazers today, 7-for-10 shooting. Even homeboy Vince Carter hit 4 of 8 for three.
Wow.
Yeah, they had
I think, is it just me or is Vince Carter slowly turning into Jerry Stackhouse?
Yeah, a little bit. He's kind of chunkier though.
He just goes out there, all he wants to do is throw up terrible fadeaways.
Yeah, but you know, he's still hitting.
Yeah, true.
They had 6 guys in double figures against the Blazers. They had K-Man back, he went 16 and 10. The best part about this, and I'd probably play hard for any owner who's willing to heckle an ex-teammate, be that Brendan Haywood came back for the Bobcats the other night. And
Cuban.
Cuban was giving it to him, apparently. I didn't know over what or if there's some sort of beef or whatever.
Was it jokingly or was it like a heckle?
He amnestied him. He's got plenty of ammo to give him shit.
He sent him packing. That was after the championship, wasn't it? After they got their ring. Yeah. So I don't know what the beef is, but I don't know. I'd be pretty into my owner giving ex-teammates shit. That would be pretty awesome, and I'd play pretty hard for him. So, yeah, Dallas looking good at 3-1. See what happens.
Can we talk about Stern's retirement and why the hell they announce it a year and a half out?
30-year anniversary.
Oh, right. Okay. We all shit thought that he was finishing up that week, remember? Until we actually checked the fucking email.
Who, Stern?
Yeah. Oh, I did. I got all pumped about it.
I was hoping it'd be...
He's out! So, Bagman, there's been a few contract extensions very early on in the regular season. Do you want to just run through them for us?
Definitely. Do you want to tell me how you feel about them as I bled them out?
Is that firstly, I'm very happy about Taj Gibson.
Taj Gibson, 4 years between 32 and 38 mil a season.
We don't know official numbers, but they left that definitely till the 11th hour to do that. And he was stressing, and then I saw a post game interview with him, and he was crying.
Was anyone interested in?
He was actually crying, and because he wasn't sure what the hell was going to happen, and he knew obviously other teams would jump on him if they.
Everyone's getting teary at the Bulls.
I was gonna ask going to ask you, so who was interested in Gibson?
But then they said, and then he said, "You're going to be taking the entire team out for dinner." After he said, "Yeah, we're going to go to McDonald's."
I didn't think that there was any doubt that they were going to re-sign him, so no one really made any inquiries.
Yeah, right, okay.
I don't know why the
Bulls are doing that, though. For Tibbs, they left that to the definite 11th hour as well. They just keep them sweating for some reason.
Look, everyone signed a contract basically on the same day. It's not unusual for it to run late.
That late? Hours before?
Look, all 5 guys signed extensions within a day or so of each other.
For the cutoff.
I'm psyched on that Ty Lawson extension.
How much was it for again?
What was those?
Ty Lawson, 4 years at $48 million, was the most expensive out of the 5
guys. Yeah,
and
I think that's totally warranted. I agree with that. That's cool.
Well, he's a number one option, really, isn't he?
Yep, definitely.
He's probably the only one on this list.
Yeah, and confirming that with that contract to him will probably set him in place to, you are the leader of the team now, we're giving it to you. Earn that contract. And at 48 mil, that's pretty good. He's only, 3 years out of college, I think. He was at North Carolina from memory. And,
this is his fourth year.
Fourth year now. Yeah, so good on him. I'm stoked for Lawson. I reckon he's going to do good things in Denver now.
How do you feel about Stephen Curry, 4 years at $44 million?
Not as good as the Lawson one, but he's probably earned it too.
If he can, it's all about the health again, really. Yeah. If he stays healthy and he plays as well as he did at his peak, then that's a bit of a steal.
I don't know if he'll have the same amount of wins that Denver get, because Denver is surrounded with, Lawson's surrounded with a lot of scorers. He's got a lot of options for guys to finish the plays. I don't know if Curry's got that.
And what do you feel rounding out the point guards on the list? Drew Holiday of the 76ers, 4 years, between 41
I and love it.
46.
You think love Drew Holiday.
He started amazing this year.
Yeah, he has problems with turnovers, but other than that, he scores the basket. And I think if you put other amazing players around him, or just a couple marquee, bring Omari down there.
And steps up significantly in playoffs.
You think he's more like a John Wall kind of young but still needs to develop kind of player, or...
Yeah, I don't think there's anything he really does particularly well. He's like an okay shooter, okay distributor, okay defender.
Plays well under pressure in the big games. He was good. He was obviously wiped the Bulls out, moved into Boston in the second round last year, and was great. Like just a really good, solid boy on point.
Who's he got around him?
Not Iggy.
No, not Iggy. But, you know, can he connect with Bynum?
Yeah,
I don't know.
But they got Thaddeus Young and Evan Turner. Yeah. They got young guys. They're going to get out and run Richardson's there.
They could do something. Yeah.
Sixers are a fast team, man. They caused a lot of headaches. They caused a lot of headaches for Boston as well. Lots of close games in the playoffs last year.
I think Lawson, he sort of gears what they do. So he's important to them. He's handy. I think that's a pretty good contract. The one that's like gaining the most negative attention is the DeMar DeRozan 4 years, $40 million extension. Bit of a brain scratcher. I don't know if I would have given him that.
I don't like it either. It's kind of like in the same vein as that Lopez contract. I reckon it's. You know, they're going to pay it. They're going to pay that, I guess. And there's dollars there for it. But whether it's deserving or not, I don't know.
I think it just goes to show there's a bit of a weakness at two guard in the league right now.
Yeah.
And you'll get what you can get, I suppose.
Yeah, if you can get someone that can get you 17 to 20 a game, you throw $10 million a year at them. That's what's up.
Okay, thanks for listening to the podcast. For more information, please head over to our Facebook page, Full Court Press. Next week, we're going to be doing a big inside look into the Sydney Kings. See you next week.